and action are our deliverables. I'm your host, Professor Vernet A. Joseph, and I'm joined by my co-host, Global World Civility Ambassador and Leader, Dr. Clyde Rivers. How are you doing, my friend?
Dr. V, I'm fantastic, man. Hey, I loved our show. Let's make this thing happen and open the eyes of the world to the next level.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, today we've got a great show for you. Today we will be talking on the topic of how to reset after crisis. And if we could subtitle this, it'd be how to reset the economy and our world. Well, listen, we know here on Civility 360, we're bringing you the best and the brightest from 360 degree angle all across the globe. Today is going to be no different as we get into this topic. And I want to share with you that life is going to happen to us all. So don't get caught up on what's not happening or what's somebody else is doing. What I need you to focus on when we begin to talk about reset is focus on you. You need to look at the man or woman in the mirror and ask yourself, what are you doing? Why are you here? If I could share something with you, what I would want you to say is this: how am I going to change the world today? How am I going to change the world today? And when you open up with that statement each and every day, you're going to see that it is possible for you to become a world changer. Talk to us, Dr. Rivers. How you doing today?
Man, Doc, I'm great, man. And you know, I appreciate the life as we know it will never be the same. Because what we've seen with the pandemic is something we've never seen. So when you have something you've never seen, you have to reset because you've never seen it. Wow. So see, and this is why I was telling someone a couple of days ago, I said, all the data gathered doesn't matter now. Everything's changing. And am I saying, yeah, data is important, but data, there's no data for a pandemic reset. Who's ever created a narrative after this? So this is my big thing right now, Dr. V, is we need innovators.
Innovators.
This world will be transformed not by the researcher, but by the searcher. By the one with new ideas, new innovations, and every paradigm is changing today. I'm watching ESPN. And I'm watching the sportscasters do it from home. I'm watching live PD, the co-host doing it from their house. I'm still putting it down because it can be put down another way. I had a friend that was on a show, and he went to a studio, and he said where they had 16 workers, they now have one. I said, so that company knows it can do it with one now. So what's going to happen to the other 15, Dr. B? The reset is changing everything. What are your thoughts, Doc?
Wow. I love how you brought that up. You know, I was always taught, you know, in the military, Dr. Rivers, how you can actually bring about, what would we call that thing? Lean Six Sigma. That's what it was. It was called Lean Six Sigma. And what that was teaching us how to do more with less, teaching us how to get lean in certain areas, but still accomplish the vision and the mission that was set forth for us. What you just described is literally what is happening in the world today. No matter where you are, if you're in anywhere in the world, your restaurants are not operating at max capacity. They're not operating at optimal levels. Why? Because they have now had to shrink back, dial back, and find out how to still become effective and efficient even in the midst of this crisis. So when you begin to think about reset, what are you doing with the little that you do have? Many people often think, Dr. Rivers, that you have to have much to accomplish a lot. But let's take this to the biblical terms. In everything that we've ever known, God has done great and massive things with the little. So are you ready to become an innovator? Are you ready to reset and start to get lean in what you're doing, but become more massive and effective by your impact? That's what we're talking about today. In the reset, I don't want you to see or think that you're losing anything. What's actually happening is there's a magnifying glass put on your potential that is saying it's time for you to produce. Come on, talk to us.
Man, Dr. V, every generation, every time change has interrupters. People that interrupt old narratives with new things. And I mean, normally it's called a disruptive technology. But there's never been a technology disruption for the whole world. So every system in the world is changing. So there's going to be interruptive technologies, interruptive, disruptive things that are disrupting systems. And you know what? And that's where productive civility business can come in. Because I really believe, Dr. V, is there's going to have to be a part of civility to help people transition from the old to the new. So normally at times of great changes, ships lose a lot of cargo. They lose a lot of people. And we can't lose people in this. We have to revalue their currency. And their currency has to be reset. And the only way to do that is to actually, can you imagine productive business civility? Going into a business saying, look, you have all these people that have been in your company for a long time. Great. Mm-hmm. Now everything's changing. So wouldn't it be smart to sit down with every entity in your business and talk to them about how to reset it?
My. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Go ahead, Doc.
Wow. No. I'm just saying that is awesome. The mindset, the mind frame, to think of it from that perspective. Yeah, we still have work to do, but we need to rethink, reevaluate what's going on. We need to revalue our people. We need to revalue the structure and the systems that we have to make sure that we are going to be good as we launch back out. I love it. There's nothing to say after that one, Dr. Rivers. Come on, man. That one was hot. That's hot off the presses. That's a great download for people to start looking at. Revalue the currency of others.
You know, Dr. V, I spoke this summer. I spoke at a military institute that had 25 brigadier generals. And I'm sitting there with these leaders, and I'm posing questions. I said, are you maximizing the people power in your organization? I said, I understand your military structures, so people have to do what you say. But when people have to do what you say, are they always giving you their best back?
Come on now.
I said, there's a part of civility that's so important that if you're going to get right information, full details, you have to treat people with respect even when they have to obey you. Because I was sharing and I said, do you think that guy on the front line has relevant information for you? Do you think he's going to tell you if you've made him not respect you? He could save your life with what he knows. So these big structures, the wisdom I have for the big structures is, man, before you let everybody go, interview everyone.
Come on now.
See what they can do, because people are thinking about cutting the fat. I'm saying, okay, cut the fat. You see, in the midst of a crisis, you run lean, but it doesn't mean that you're running to full effect.
Come on now.
And productive business civility, Dr. V, your organization, the philosophy you created, I believe in it because you're looking at people power. You're saying, yeah, there's business, but you can't forget the people, because it's the ideas of people that build your business, and people now are running lean, but it doesn't mean they're running mean. You can run lean and not run mean. When they come back up, now they can do more things than you ever thought because they can run lean and mean and have the next paradigm. Come on, Dr. V.
I love it. I love it. I want to go back to something that you said earlier. I don't want the people to miss this one. It says the world will change not by the researchers, but by the searcher. I want to dive into that a little bit deeper, Dr. Rivers, because this, I believe, is going to be the paradigm shift that helps us to reset after this crisis. Let's talk about that. The world will change not by the researchers, but by the searcher.
Let me tell you, let me explain. We, years ago, Chancellor Michael Pitzel and myself, we established a method for our graduate college and seminary. And Dr. V, 10 years ago, people laughed at us. Mm-hmm. I said, there has to be a searchers, because I always struggled. I said, why? I know many people that are researchers, and they end up throwing data away that didn't fit their narrative. And I said, that's still knowledge. Just because knowledge doesn't fit your narrative, it's still knowledge. And I said, a researcher, I had people that were researching. I've said, they're following what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So if someone's following what I'm doing, then who's the real innovator? Mm-hmm. They're basically transcribing what I searched for. Mm-hmm. So I said, the world needs searchers and not just researchers. Researchers are valuable, but we mm-hmm. need more than researchers. Yeah. We need searchers that are out there like you. Productive business civility was a paradigm that you bought into existence. It didn't exist before. There's all kind of business organizations, business acronym, business stuff, but no one thought about productive business civility. That idea that came from you is going to serve. It's going to help companies stay out of lawsuits. It's going to help companies maximize productivity because they'll understand how to value the currency. So every organization right now is not looking for data. They're looking for solutions, the front line. Tell me, what do we do now? The one guy on the front line, the people that are working restaurants on skeleton crews are telling the boss every day, what's going on? Boss, this happened. Boss, we're not using this. Boss, people are not buying this food. They're buying this food. Mm-hmm. Boss, we don't need this many cups. We need this. So it's the day-to-day input that builds things.
Wow. I love that. And as you're talking about that, I would say that civility is the equalizer that brings forth solutions. Civility is the equalizer that brings forth solutions, because you're absolutely right. That one or two skeleton crew that's holding the business on its hands and knees, and making sure that business is still going to be around even after things go back to quote unquote normal. Now, the question is, business owner, CEO, will you reverence and respect the people who are on the front lines during the time of your crisis? Will you acknowledge them? Will you take care of them? Even when things go back to normal and you're not having to think from a scarcity mindset. Let's talk about that for a moment. Will you operate out of abundance now, even in the midst of the pandemic or the scarcity that is going on? And when you, as a owner of something, recognizes its value, then you must value it to the fullest. People treatment. Let me say it this way, Dr. Rivers. I don't care what business you have. Your business will not run without people.
Oh,
no matter what it is. Even if you're going to tell me that you're in a digital business and, oh, yeah, it's e-commerce. Well, who inputs all that data? Who makes sure that everything in the processes go together? You always have to value people, not some of the time, but all of the time. The more that you take care of your people, the greater your business will become. Remember this. You heard it right here on Civility 360. Civility is the equalizer that brings forth solutions. What do you think, Doc?
Man, you're 100% right. I want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
How did you come up with productive business civility? That's a question I've been wanting to. What did you see in the arena of business? What did you see that caused you to create this philosophy?
Well, to be honest with you, Dr. Rivers, I know we've had this conversation before, but when I think about this, my whole life has been about productive business. You know, I come from a family that has well over 100 years of military service in our family. I come from a family where my parents were immigrants from Haiti, and we migrated here to the United States. I was born in Georgia, and I just knew that being about my business is important, but business without productivity lacks something. I always tell people this way, Dr. Rivers, you will never take your money to a bank and leave it in that bank if that bank is not known for being productive with your money. You will never go and consistently consume meals at a restaurant if that chef in the back is not productive with how they put the culinary experience together. You will never consistently follow a leader if that leader is not productive. They won't be a leader for long. So when most people talk about leadership being the thing that everything rises and falls off of, I say that productivity is the catalyst for everything. Because productivity is what helps us to become efficient and effective in our daily living. Productivity is what causes us to move the needle. It brings about creativity and innovation, and then it puts it on steroids. That's what productivity does. So in my life, I've only known how to, number one, I'm a businessman. Number two, I'm a relationships guy. And I value the relationship and the relationship currency. And because of those two things, when you marry them together, what do you have? You have productive business. So in my mind, being in the military 20 plus years, seeing all these different countries, working behind the scenes with governments and everything else, what I began to see is that business is good, but productive business is better. Because I always see things from the end state. I want to see legacy in action. Productive business causes you to have legacy operating in action. I don't want you to bring me flowers when I'm dead. Bring me flowers while I'm alive. That's what productivity does. I don't want an accolade after I'm gone. I want an accolade for doing what I knew to do and what was right. And that's why you want to give the accolade. Don't give me the accolade for the namesake. Because the name in my mind reveals its nature. Before you can ever get promoted in the military, they would tell you that you already have to be performing at the level in which you're going to get promoted as. So in my mind, productive business is my DNA. It's my lifestyle. And I just began to share my philosophies and practices. And then I said, you know what? This needs to be out in the world, not just in me. And that's how it came about.
How did you add the component of civility? Because you have productive business civility. And that is what you received an honorary, that's what you got a professorship in. So yes, when sir. How did you integrate business and civility? What was that defining moment?
Absolutely. Again, my mother is someone who, you know, God rest her soul, had impacted me in my life in so a deep rooted way. At her funeral, Dr. Rivers, her eighth or fifth grade teacher was there. and people from all around the world came to see this woman. And I began to ask myself, what type of life did she live that would cause these people to flock to her? Wow. And it was a life of civility. From a young age, my parents taught me about people treatment. Again, remember, my parents are from Haiti. And at the time, was one of the worst, you know, places that you could possibly come from. When I was growing up, no one wanted to say that they were Haitian, right? But what I learned was civility, people treatment, treating people with dignity, honor, and respect. That was a way of life in my household. So even when business and productivity came together, the missing link was the thing that brought it all together to begin with. It's civility. You cannot live on this planet, folks. I don't care what industry you find yourself in. You cannot live on this planet without civility.
Wow.
So quite naturally, productive business, civility has to be the hinge, the bridge that keeps it all together, because no matter how much money you get, you still want civility. No matter how big your business gets, you still have to learn how to treat people well, because if you don't treat people well, your business is not going to grow. If all your workers walk out on you today, guess what? You have no business, Mr. CEO. You have no business supervisor. You have no business executive.
Wow.
So, productive business civility is still and will always and forever be about people treatment. And when you learn to treat people well, you will never fail.
Dr. V, see, your philosophy, I believe, is coming in the world at the right time. Because look, even through this reset, in the resets of the past, we could leave people behind. Now we can't. Mm-hmm. We have to find a way to move. Yeah, business is going to run lean. But again, you got that homeless person in the streets. You got that family that God may forbid they get sick. But now we got to look at everyone. We got to say, well, how do we keep everyone? Because what's been lost, Dr. V, is an operating system. The whole system is now broken. So now everything is going to another system. So it's a reset system. And there has to be a mindset shift from the old system. And what I believe will happen is this. Now, Dr. B, it's never been to where every country in the world had to build its own economy back up. So what's going to take place then? So now you're talking reset the globe. We're talking people have to reset their community.
Come on now.
They have to reset their state.
Yes,
they have to reset their nation, and then they can look out. They can't look out now and say, okay, let's create this. No. And that's every nation in the world will reset. And then, Dr. V, where I believe productive business ability will be so important, the world is interconnected, so no nation can live by themselves anymore. So they're going to run to their sovereignty. And then they're going to say, wow, these people have this good service that we need. They produce this. So now they're going to have to come across the table. But this time, looking over the bow, there's equity. There's equity now. So it isn't no more going this. No. Hey, we're good now. We got some infrastructure we built. We got some education we built. When you weren't there, we built this.
Right.
So this reset is really leveling the playing field for everyone to look at each other and say, now you got a good in service. Great. I need this. What's the value? What's the value? Because the economies are devastated right now, And every day this goes on, it gets worse and worse in the eyes of the world.
Wow. Wow. You know, as I sit back and I think about what you just said, let's take a look at some of the areas that are going to need to reset. Number one, the economy. Number two, the education system and structure. Number three, business in all areas, all facets, all industry. Number four, it would be service. And then number five, You've got to learn how to build solid and firm relationships. This thing, when it comes to reset, we have to learn how to build solid relationships. And your relationships have to become productive. It's time that we get back to the core of what we were created to do. We were created to produce. Each of us were given a measure of faith, something that we needed to stretch, to exercise, to build upon. Each of us were given time, talents, and energy, and efforts. Now, what are we going to do, and how are we going to bring those efforts together to reset our economies, reset our education systems and structures, reset our business models, and reset our service to the industries as well as our relationships? That's what's needed in this world now more than ever before.
Wow. Wow. Well, I couldn't agree with you anymore. And I believe the model you've created for productive business civility. See, people have never really had to major on civility, because if we didn't like you, we just fired you. We get rid of you. Now they're going to have to rethink the game. And that's a great thing, Dr. B. That's a great thing to rethink the game, reconsider. Yes. Because hear this, there can be digital economies, and there will be, but at the end of the day, 7.8 billion people, and that number will increase, still have to have their needs met.
Yes.
Still have to be watched over to make sure when they're sick, they don't shut the world down. Mm-hmm. So you can do all this stuff, but you can't leave 7.8 billion people out.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about a few things that we think would help people when it comes to reset. Number one, just like change, reset is good. A lot of times when people hear the word reset, they automatically think that something failed and now you have to reset it. Every 90 days, I challenge my clients to actually do a mind shift and a self-analysis of who they are and what they're doing. I ask them, are they on track or off track? So when we think about the economies of the world, when we think about everything going on, we've got to recognize that reset is actually a good thing and not a bad thing, first and foremost. The second thing that we want to look at, Dr. Rivers, is what are we doing now? What must change? And what can remain the same? Because without the understanding of those three things, then where are we? Where are we? If I could share with everyone today, maybe five areas that I believe everywhere in the world will need to reset in. Let's talk about that. The number one thing, Dr. Rivers, that people will have to reset in is their trust.
Wow. Trust. Wow.
That's the number one thing.
Wow.
No matter where you are, you're going to have to reset in your trust. What are your thoughts on that one?
Absolutely. 100%. That's why you're the professor of this. I'm telling you, because people look for everything. People look for external change, but they don't realize it's the internal change that's going to make this happen. If I don't trust you, I can look at you all day and shake your hand and not trust and not work with you and not be a part of what you're doing. But I can look at you and you think I'm with you.
Yes.
So it's those internal things of trust that we have to. That's fantastic.
Awesome. Another thing that I would tell everyone that we need to reset in after trust: every country, every state, every city around the globe is going to have to reset in what I call their leadership. Leadership is going to have to be reset, but it first must be reset by the trust factor. Once we get to the trust factor, now we can go to leadership.
That's good.
Because if I don't trust my leadership, if I wasn't happy with how leadership handled X or Y or Z, I will never get back to trusting them again. So I must first establish trust.
Yes.
And second, I must establish leadership. the very next thing that the systems of this world is going to have to do, and this one is going to be the hard one, but they're going to have to look at resetting what I would call their budget. They're going to have to reset their budget, how they allocate, what they allocate, and for what purpose they allocate. It's time to start looking at your budget in a different way. The way that you did it before is not going to be good enough where you headed it. So therefore, you're going to have to reallocate, restructure your budget. You know, many people, we were just talking about the digital. There are places all around the globe who weren't digital, but they have recognized and realized during this time that digital is the new way. Yeah, and without digital, you're going to die. You're going to become obsolete.
Yeah.
So that would be the next reset that I would say needs to come. Now, after you've reallocated and reestablished budgets, the next thing that you really, really want to pay attention to is, and this one is going to be a hard one because many people have lost jobs, but after you reallocate budget, you now have to reset work.
Oh, man.
What does work look like now?
Wow.
Because many people have been home for so long that you can't tell them that they have to come into the office, because guess what? In the midst of the pandemic, we were able to still be productive from home.
Wow.
So work is going to look quite different than it used to. Is this making sense?
Matt, that, professor, I'm learning. I'm in the classroom. I'm in the classroom. I'm in the laboratory with the expert. Go ahead.
This to me is just, it's so important. Wow. And because we went from trust to leadership to budget to work, now here comes the big kahuna. For most organizations, you're now going to have to reset your HR. What does your human resource factor look like?
Oh, man.
How will you treat your people? What are you going to, it's always going to come back to people treatment. So after we've reset trust, after we've reset leadership, after we've reset our budget, after we've reset what work looks like, now we're going to have to deal with the tough thing, and that's the HR issues.
Professor, man, I've just been schooled. Those are things that people don't think about. And see, this is why productive business ability is the catalyst for the future. Because what the 5 points you just gave are the 5 points that every single institution, everybody, every person has to look at that now. Everyone.
Yes, sir. Man. Yes, sir. There's no doubt in my mind. If we are going to reset after this crisis, if we're going to reset in the economy of these worlds that we're living in right now, all the countries all across the globe, every one of them will have to deal with these five facets. So I challenge each and every person who's listening today to begin to look at yourself and ask yourself, what does your trust factor look like? How is your leadership? Is there a lid on your leadership right now? And what have you done to reallocate your budget for whatever it is that you're working on? Many people don't want to think about budget, but you have to have a budget in order to succeed with what you want to do.
Yes.
The next thing is, okay, what does work look like for you now? You know, how often will you be in the office? What does that, I mean, are you working digitally? Are you whatever it is.
Wow.
And then you've got to really take a look at the human resource factor, treating people with respect and dignity and making sure that they are taken care of for the work that they do. When you do those five things, you will reset after this crisis, reset your economy and your world.
Doc, I'm with you, man. Thank you for that. That's priceless insight. that's priceless. No, that's real. That's why on Stability 360, you get it real. People are looking at the external, but these internal components, and trust being number one is the critical, because what's happening right now is this trust is being broken because Doc, I know we're down to the last couple of minutes, but on this, let me tell you what happens in a reset with a pandemic. The data is new every day. So they may have you start this and then they back this up. No, that's not working now. Go here. So there's a lot of hit and miss in the reset. And that right there breaks trust as well.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to learn how to I tell people, in a crisis, never build a house.
Come on now.
Never build a house in a crisis. Let it settle. And then you'll get structure and build stuff right.
That's great wisdom right there, sir. That's great wisdom right there. Hey, listen, folks, it is always a pleasure to come to you here on Civility 360. Again, we want to bring you something that will challenge your mind. Remember, Civility 360 is your platform for all things civility, and we're here to bring civility, influence, and action. Those are our deliverables to you every single show. It is a pleasure to talk with you, my good friend, my co-host, world civility leader. I'm talking about none other than Dr. Clyde Rivers, who is changing the globe because he's got a mind that takes control and not one that sits back and relax. Listen, if you're ever in Dr. Rivers' presence for more than 2 minutes, I'm telling you, your life is going to change. Hey, Dr. Rivers, let's go ahead and close this one out, my friend. Again, if you've been listening to Civility 360, make sure that you go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check us out on social media at Civility 360. And of course, if you've got any questions, thoughts, or concerns, you can go ahead and catch us on civility360.com. Blessings, peace, and productivity to you. And remember, be civil and pass it on.